Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Article 3 Standing and Statutory Rights Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 2, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Spokio Inc. v. Robbins. Robbins sued website operator Spokio Inc. under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, complaining that Spokio had published inaccurate personal information about Robbins. The district court determined that Robbins had failed to allege an injury in fact and dismissed the case for lack of standing. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit reversed, concluding that Spokio's alleged violations of Robbins' statutory rights constituted sufficient injury and that Robbins satisfied the other requirements for Article III standing. The question Spokio raises before the Supreme Court is whether Congress may confer Article III standing upon a plaintiff who suffers no concrete harm and who therefore could not otherwise invoke the jurisdiction of a federal court by authorizing a private right of action based on a bare violation of a federal statute. To discuss the case, we have Aaron Hawley, who is Associate Professor of Law at University of Missouri School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Hawley.
In this case, Thomas Robbins alleges that petitioner, Spokio, violated the Fair Credit Reporting Act, known as the FCRA, by publishing inaccurate information about him. He filed a class action seeking maximum statutory damages of $1,000 per violation. This case is particularly interesting because it addresses, at long last, the role of Congress in creating standing. Congress can create a cause of action in a statute, of course, and the question is whether the cause of action itself is sufficient to create standing or whether there must be additional evidence of harm. The specific question presented asks whether Congress may confer Article III standing upon a plaintiff who suffers no concrete harm, thus teeing up the question that the court has left open in a number of cases, and as we'll discuss later, a question that may not actually be presented here. So, to begin briefly with a word on standing, Article III of the Constitution provides that the Supreme Court, and by extension the federal courts, may decide only cases or controversies. Thus, the early Supreme Court decided that the President or Congress may not ask for an advisory opinion. Such an opinion would not constitute a sufficiently concrete case or controversy. Case or controversy has come to have three elements: injury, causation, and redressability. So, in order to have standing and in order to file suit in federal court, a plaintiff must assert an actual injury or an injury in fact, must show that that particular injury was caused by the object of the lawsuit, and must demonstrate that that injury is redressable by the courts. This case focuses on actual injury. In Lujan v. Defenders of Wildlife, the Supreme Court held that to have suffered an injury in fact, that injury must be concrete and particularized, actual or imminent, and must be of a legally protected interest. In Lujan v. Defenders of Wildlife, the Supreme Court, with Justice Scalia writing, held that to have suffered an injury in fact, a plaintiff must show a concrete and particularized injury, an actual or imminent invasion of a legally protected interest. So at issue in this case is whether Mr. Robbins has a concrete and particularized injury. So let's look at the statute. The Fair Credit Reporting Act imposes obligations on consumer reporting agencies. For purposes of this lawsuit, it's assumed that Spokio is a consumer reporting agency. The statute then requires such agencies to, quote, follow reasonable procedures to assure maximum possible accuracy of, end quote, consumer reports. So the statute requires reasonable procedures and penalizes, among other things, the publication of inaccurate information. It provides causes of action for both negligent and willful violations, and for willful violations, fines of from $100 to $1,000 a violation. So here, Spokio operates a people search engine. Many of you have probably seen Spokio pop up if you are Googling someone's name. Spokio is a search engine that generates publicly available information from phone books, social networks, marketing surveys, business websites, and the like. Spokio is used by employers and other individuals to access information about particular individuals. In this lawsuit, Thomas Robbins filed a class action alleging that the search results associated with his name included a number of inaccurate details. The report noted that he was married when he was single, put him in the top 10% of wealth holders, while that's not true, indicates that he has a professional degree and a current job, both of which are inaccurate. So the district court in this case dismissed finding that those allegations of the procedural violation of the statute did not satisfy Article III standing. On appeal, the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit reversed. That court held that the creation of a private cause of action implies that Congress intended a provision to create a statutory right, and the violation of a statutory right is usually sufficient to confer standing. So they recognized that when an injury, in fact, is a violation of a statutory right, causation and redressability will usually be satisfied. So the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit really focused on the fact that here we have statutory violation, and that's sufficient for Article III standing. So that's where we get the particular question presented. Oral argument, however, took place on November 22nd, revealing a sharply divided court, and it looks like three potential outcomes. So the first potential outcome is a ruling directly on the question presented that plaintiffs only need to allege a violation of a right created by a statute. So the court could hold that plaintiffs, in this case, could allege violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So long as there was any procedural violation, plaintiffs could proceed with a lawsuit. The second possibility, at the other end of the spectrum, is that the court could hold that plaintiffs need to point to an actual harm from the statutory violation, not just the harm itself. So, for example, if Mr. Robbins alleged that he'd been denied employment on the basis of this report, which he did, in fact, at the district court, then the court could say that harm in and of itself is required for Article III standing. And third, the third possibility here is that the court could find that Robbins was actually injured by the publication of false information. So this third possibility might allow the court to avoid the question presented and instead find that the combination of this particular statute and the facts presented demonstrate an injury in fact. So a little bit more about each of those possibilities. So as to the view that plaintiffs only need to allege the violation of a statutory right, only two justices at oral argument seemed open to this more extreme view. Justice Sotomayor and Justice Ginsburg both seem to echo the idea that the injury, in fact, can be the breach of a legal right. So because Congress has provided a breach of a legal right here, that is in and of itself enough for injury in fact. Other justices, however, seem to disagree with that. In addition to the usual suspects on the right side of the ideological spectrum, Justice Kagan and Justice Breyer seem to agree with Spokio that a concrete injury was necessary in order to satisfy Article III. So at oral argument, there seems to be a minority of justices who might be willing to hold that a bare statutory violation is enough to provide Article III standing. At the other end of the spectrum, there were several justices who seemed firm in their views that Article III requires an actual injury and not just statutory violation. Both justices, Scalia and Chief Justice Roberts, asked hypotheticals that suggested as much. Scalia, for example, cited the statute's failure to provide a blank 100 number. This provided the cause of action, but would not necessarily affect persons who might file suit. Chief Justice Roberts felt the same way. He described a hypothetical statute that allows damages for the publication of false information. But what about someone whose unlisted phone number is published, but published incorrectly, Roberts asked? In that case, there would be no actual harm, but there would have been a statutory violation. And would that give the unlisted phone number's owner the right to sue? So there seem several justices who were uncomfortable with the idea that Congress might create an injury in the statutory cause of action without the necessary Article III prerequisite of an actual injury. So the third possibility is an interesting twist. At the certiorari stage, the Solicitor General weighed in and actually urged the Supreme Court not to grant cert in this case on grounds that Robbins was actually injured. He suffered a concrete and actualized injury within the meaning of Article III, and thus this case is outside the scope of the question presented. Several justices picked up on this at oral argument. Justice Alita Kagan really loved the charge in this thing. Even she said, if I agree with a petitioner here with Spokio that a petitioner must allege a concrete injury, wouldn't the dissemination of false information in a credit report be a concrete injury, she asked. It seems concrete to me. If someone published false information about me, I would feel harmed. Justice Breyer seemed to agree, adding that there could be economic harm here. There could also be a psychological harm. Justice Sotomayor, I think, to concur as well, noting that she knew a number of people who would Google individuals to see what their potential date was or was not married. So a number of justices keyed here on the actual harm that could occur from the publication of false information on a credit reporting site. Now, the wrinkle in this case is whether this third possibility is within the scope of the question presented and whether it's a fair reading of the statute. In response to this line of questioning, Justice Scalia pointed out that the Fair Credit Reporting Act does not limit statutory violations to those involving misrepresentation, but rather allows lawsuits to proceed seemingly upon any procedural violation which might not come along with a different independent harm. So there's a question in this case as to what is the best reading of the statute. And then the second question is what it is that the court is reviewing. In rebuttal, the attorney for Spokio, Mr. Andrew Pincus, noted that the Ninth Circuit in this case squarely held that a statutory violation was in and of itself enough for Article III standing. Now, Justice Kagan pushed back against this, arguing that while the Ninth Circuit was, quote, not a very good opinion, quote, there was enough in that case to suggest that there's been a finding of actual harm in addition to a statutory violation. So it seems at least that some justices are willing to go outside the scope of the question presented and find an actual harm in this case. Others, Justice Roberts responded, that was not what the Court of Appeals had said, leading Justice Sotomayor to report that the court reviews outcomes, not reasoning. So the long and short is that this case presents a very exciting question of jurisdiction and involves Congress's role in setting a standing and how that interplay works with Article III requirements. Court watchers have long awaited a determination of whether Congress can create Article III standing through the violation of a procedural statute. It seems unlikely that this court will decide that that's the case, but there's a significant question as to whether the court will hold that there's an Article III requirement for an actual and concrete harm apart from the statute, or instead whether they will find that in this case such harm exists.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.